Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, October 24th, 2011. Hope you had a great weekend. My thanks to the hospitality shown to me by the Phi Beta Kappa Society, America's oldest academic fraternity. You all have a wonderful organization with some incredibly talented people in this community, and I'm honored that you chose me to speak at your quarterly event on Saturday. It was fun. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Also our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We are always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of at least the previous 2 weeks' programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. Monday through Friday, we are here live, noon to 1. Today's lineup includes our Monday political face off with commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. At 30 minutes past the hour, our aging expert Gail Morgan joins us to talk about when to retire. And then we close out the Buckmaster Show Monday edition with Tucson writer Carolyn Neathammer. Her fifth and most recent book is just out. It's called Cooking the Wild Southwest. There was a very nice piece about Carolyn in yesterday's Arizona Daily Star and about her new book. We encourage you to be part of the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, or toll-free 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick off the week with a Monday political face-off featuring one of our two teams of commentators. This week, it's Bruce Ash, the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. He's the current vice chair of the party locally. The Monday political face-off is presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. It's a family-owned and run business. They've been there since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging service, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce and Paul, good to see you both.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. You have the A-team here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, of the two teams, it's like a tag team match. Well, someday we'll put, like, all of you together, all four of you. Anyway, we had here on the Buckmaster Show the exclusive radio debate for the candidates for mayor, Paul Eckerstrom, and Jeff Rogers, the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, was with me last week revealing the latest. It was hot off the press at the time. The poll that the Democratic Party did, very favorable, if you believe the numbers, to the Democratic Party for the mayor and the council races.
Yeah, it was a plus or minus 4.9% poll, but it showed Jonathan Rothschild ahead of Rick Grinnell by about 17 points. It showed Shirley Scott up by 25 points over Tyler Vogt.
25?
25 points. And then Paul Cunningham over Jennifer Rawson up by 29 points. And, you know, that'll tighten up as we get closer to the election. And people are doing ads right now because the ballots have gone out in the mail. But I think that'll hold pretty strong for the Democrats, especially because this is the first year of entirely vote by mail, which will increase turnout, which is always a difficult thing for Democrats in these city off-year elections. One of the reasons Republicans do well in a Democratic city like Tucson is because Republicans traditionally vote, it's easier to get them out to vote than Democrats. But with the entire vote by mail, I think that's going to upturn out across the board.
And Bruce Ash, in your commentary, This Is What I Believe, which airs here on KVOI, you have said that Shirley Scott, for one, looks beat. I think those were your words.
She is beat, and apparently the Arizona Daily Star concurs. They failed to endorse her. Tyler Vogt elected not to even be interviewed by the Star, and yet the Star editorial board felt that Tyler Vogt was the superior candidate in this election. Really, I think that there's a great Democrat voter fatigue right now. We're going to see that come out in this city election. They're not only unhappy with the Democrat administration in Washington, they're not very happy at all with the overspending, the bloated problems with Rio Nuevo, as well as the cronyism that's been going on here for years. And I think on top of all of it, people just don't feel safe and secure in their own town, because secondary programs and tertiary programs have been maintained at the expense of fire and police.
I disagree with that. I think Tyler Vogt's going to lose badly to Shirley Scott. She's been a business-oriented, moderate Democrat, and she's got the endorsements of the police and fire. And the other thing is...
So you don't think that one will even be close, Paul?
No, I don't think it's going to be close. The reason is and I take issue with the Arizona Daily Star. I thought that was an outrageous endorsement when the guy didn't even show up for the editorial board interviews, and all they did was take quotes from him, and he sent them for the editorial. And they misread what Shirley Scott's all about. I mean, she has voted a number of times against some of the difficult stuff in the Rio Nuevo since the inception, and she hasn't been happy with Rio Nuevo the whole time, and she's been one of the few council people during the early years that really voiced that opinion. And I think voters in her ward, which is a Republican ward, by the way, and she always wins that ward overwhelmingly. She's always the number one vote getter in the city council races. I think she's going to do the same thing this time.
Councilwoman Scott has her fingerprints all over Rio Nuevo. Councilwoman Scott has, at the expense of fire and police, have given raises to SunTran employees.
Then why did they endorse her?
Well, you know, that's a
why great, is that, Bruce?
That's a $64 question, and this is public sector unions all getting together, and there's no question that the real power in this town is and with the public sector employee unions, who we like to kick Karen Ulick and some of the other folks around, saying that they're pushing all the buttons. It's really the unions who push their buttons.
I'll tell you, Bill, one of the reasons why the Republicans aren't doing well in that poll is the people they put up. Rick Grinnell has come out. Tyler Vogt and Rick Grinnell did a FOIA request to get all the emails of city employees and then sent them solicitation for their campaigns during work hours. That's a misdemeanor. They emailed 4,000 people. Well, I mean, it is. I mean, they broke the law. They don't even know how to read the city ordinances. We want them to run our government. Jennifer Rawson did a kind of a backdoor fraud
let's
scheme.
Talk about policy.
Fraud not, scheme to get matching
not,
money from the city
for
our
camp.
Well, this is policy. Do you want somebody who doesn't understand the law or the city ordinances to be running your government? And that's why I think the Democrats are going to do very well here, because, frankly, the candidates they put up are not very good.
The voters in the city of Tucson are interested in policy. They're interested in the effect that this city council has had on lives of everyday Tucsonans and their jobs. Look on the streets, Paul.
Well,
you drive down Broadway Boulevard and all you see are empty storefronts where businesses used to be. This problem can be attributed, notwithstanding all of
the recession, maybe, Bruce.
And you want to blame that on George W. Bush, I'm sure.
Yep, I do.
Every you know what? That's tired, and that's not what this is about. This city council is extraordinarily not friendly to business, not friendly to job creation. And you know what? Let's just knock heads on Rosemont Mine for a second, okay? Because Rick Grinnell in your terminology should be called Rosemont Rick.
No, I say Rio Nuevo Rick. He's on the Rio Nuevo board that's suing the city for $47 million.
Nice
spending $200,000 on lawyers our taxpayer money again.
Nice diversion.
Is Rosemont an issue in this campaign, do you think, Bruce Ash?
Well, the issue of Tucson being a job-friendly town, yes.
Okay.
You have an opportunity to create 2,100 jobs from Rosemont Mine. And
by
the
way,
city
that's a way overestimate.
And the
more
city,
like 280.
You know what, Paul? There are 500 engineers alone working on this mine. Believe me, Rosemont Mine is a great job generator, but they're not the right kind of jobs. So this city council doesn't feel that that's the sort of thing that, ought to be promoted in Tucson. So what is the right sort of thing, Paul? Is it
a nice solar factory
who comes here and then moves all of their jobs out of here in about 2 years at Solon?
Well, I mean, yeah, Bruce. What's tell you about Rosemont High. One, it's not even a city issue. The city has nothing
to
do with
Rosemont. You're right, it's not. But this city council has made it a point that they're not in favor of Rosemont. Go to the candidates for each of the city council and mayoral.
All it is extraction.
They all are against it.
All it is extraction of our
So you don't like that kind of business?
It's all it is extraction of our resources with a foreign corporation that's going to ship the ore across into Mexico to have it smelted, which could have been more jobs here. But we're going to send more jobs over to
Mexico. But your guys at the EPA
Mexico.
Don't want any smelting done like that in Arizona. So, I mean, that's a bunch of bull, Paul, and you know it.
All right. Well, this might be a good place right here. Rosemary, my producer, is shaking and had an agreement. Why don't we take a break right here? We'll be back with Paul Ackerstrom and Bruce Ash. This is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate. With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
It's 12:19. This is the Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your wall, picture hanging and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's is located next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Paul Eckerstrom is with us, and Bruce Ash. Bruce, getting back to you, you say Shirley Scott will be defeated. That's your prediction. The Cunningham and Rawson, who, by the way, the two will be here Wednesday on the Buckmaster Show. You say that one's right now very close, too close pretty much to call.
It is. It's within the margin of error.
From your polling. And as far as the Rick Grinnell, the mayoral race.
He's right there. He's just within the margin of error or just barely out of it, the margin of error. All three of these races, they're brought down by the fact that there's so much Democrat apathy at this time. I'll tell you an interesting story. My wife, who is a Democrat, a lifelong Democrat, pointed this out to me, went and visited our son over the weekend in Washington, D.C. at Reagan Airport. Ever since President Obama was elected, every shop, everywhere you go, you could see Obama, 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 okay? All kinds of stuff to buy, everywhere.
It's nowhere in that
airport anymore. And you go down the street on the Smithsonian Mall, that stuff is disappeared. And I'm telling you, and just last week they reported nearly a 20-point fatigue factor between Republicans and Democrats. And then you go look at the West Side, and the South Side. Really, there's no race there to speak of. Democrats figure that Rahina Romero is going to get reelected. So now, some of the things start getting a lot closer because Democrats could always count on that area of town mm-hmm. for folks to show up. And even though you'd have a whole bunch of Republican voters on the Northeast and the East Sides.
Yep. I have to jump in here.
Paul Eckerstrom does not believe it's going to be close.
No, and Bruce may be right if they had put up decent candidates. But, Rick Grinnell, his first thing out of his mouth in terms of issues was, I think we should save money by going to pick up trash only once every 2 weeks rather than once every week, which is illegal under state law. And it would not be good for business. I mean, restaurants would really get hurt because they would have garbage out back smelling up their restaurant. I mean, it just makes no sense. And this is the type of candidate they put up for mayor. The plain fact of the matter is him and Tyler Vogt broke the law. Jennifer Rawson broke the law in her campaign finance stuff when she tried to get matching funds
I thought there was still a concept of innocent until proven guilty. Well,
I'm
glad that you and Boss Tweed Rogers
emails are kind of self-explanatory. You get an email during work hours saying, please give me money for my campaign. Employees.
Hold on, one at a time.
That's just illegal.
Okay, Bruce.
That's what you say is illegal, Paul. Look, you can say all you want. You and Boss Tweed Rogers, who run the Democrat Party and tell people who to vote for and what to do.
He's listening.
Okay? You're the one that has an independent committee in the city election. Person.
And is that against the law?
No, it's not. But you're talking Boss Tweed. You're the guy.
Really?
You're the Boss Tweed of the Republicans. Come on.
Yeah.
That's great, man. I'm going to use that in my next election.
You should.
Is it true? Is it true that we have the boss himself on the Buckmaster Show live line? Jeff Rogers. Jeff Rogers is with us. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I was going to give you guys some figures because what we've got some numbers.
Go ahead.
For what has been turned in so far. Through Friday, we have 4,053 Democratic ballots returned, 2,200 Republican ballots returned, and 2,018 independent or others, as they're really called, have been turned in. So that's a rather dramatic surge of independents and a rather low count for the Republicans. Now, this is just through Friday, so that doesn't reflect what may have come in over the weekend and arrived in the city clerk's office today. But I thought everyone might find those numbers to be interesting.
Jeff, don't go away. Respond, please, because your name has just come up here. I don't know if you heard that.
I probably didn't hear it.
Okay, Bruce Ash was calling you Boss. What was he saying?
Tweed.
Boss Tweed Rogers.
Bruce's boss tweeted the Republicans.
It would be nice to have so much power, but I think we're very lucky with the quality of the candidates. I think that the Republicans are going to have to look a little harder and find more candidates of the cut of Steve Kozacek. If they can do that, they'll have an awful lot more, awful lot better results than they're going to see with the quality of the candidates
and
they
Steve,
were able to come up with this year.
And Jeff, just for your information, Steve has endorsed these candidates and feels very strongly that they are the kind of candidates that need to be elected in this city election in order for our city to go forward.
Yeah, and I will also
I don't think I've seen Steve endorse any one of those three, any one of those candidates.
Ask Steve yourself.
I don't see it on any of the websites, nor have I seen that information come from Steve, but it really doesn't matter. I mean, he is a registered Republican and ran as a Republican. The fact is that, when the Republican Party can field a better quality of candidates, they'll do better in citywide elections, my opinion.
Yeah. Well, Steve Kaye has spoken out very enthusiastically about these candidates.
Thank you very much for that endorsement.
I'm
sure he's not real happy with Rick Grinnell. Rio Nuevo Rick voted to sue the city, and Steve's having a real problem with Rio Nuevo board that's been appointed by Phoenix politicians like Governor Brewer. And Rick Grinnell can't explain where he's going to actually cut the budget of $47 million if that suit is successful. And Steve Kosicek's in a shooting war with him right now over that.
Steve,
and so I'm not sure he's really endorsing Rick Grinnell. Let's make it clear.
He has, and Steve Kosicek is fighting against the Democrats on the city council who are trying to stonewall the Attorney General's office as well as the FBI on what proves to be a very, very serious set of allegations made against both employees as well as elected officials.
You know, a lot has been said about the waste, Bruce Ash, of the Rio Nuevo. $240 million gets thrown around a lot, but there has been infrastructure that had to be done, and that is part of that $240 million.
What do you have to show for it? Name me, besides the bridge that was supposed to cost $9 million, that cost $25 million, what do we have for Marino?
We have a
big hole in the ground on the wrong side of the railroad tracks.
Well, we have two parking garages down there now. And those parking
Are mired in scandal and controversy as well.
Look,
the deal
would
they
you
made
let me
Scott
finish,
Seifer.
Bruce?
Unbelievable.
There's a reason, and I work downtown all the time, and parking's a problem. Now it isn't a problem, and that is bringing people downtown for the new restaurants and nightclubs, and it's really got quite a nightlife now on the weekends. And the other thing is there was a lot of work done on pipes and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's no way you can put in businesses unless that older infrastructure was rejiggered. And the Fox Theater was put in. We've got some cultural stuff like the Presidio Wall.
Success.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and am I upset that we don't have museums in there, which we should have, and that the convention center hasn't been fixed like it should be and rebuilt? You know, one of the problems I have with the whole Rio Nuevo board now that's been appointed by Phoenix politicians to come in and supposedly fix it, now they've spent over $200,000 on lawyers to sue the city over nothing when they already had an agreement on how to deal with it. It's the same as usual. If Bob Walkup and Ronstadt and Dunbar and the Republicans hijacked Rio Nuevo from its inception, and now they're doing it again.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it,
Paul. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, go ahead, Bruce. He says there's infrastructure, the things that we can't see. So there really is more. Isn't there more than just the big hole in the ground?
The problem with Rio Nuevo from the very beginning, it was unlike any other stadium district in Arizona that was set up. This was basically set up to be a honeypot for the Tucson City Council, for the Democrats on the Tucson City Council, to spend on stuff that they thought was cool. And they came up with lots of cool ideas. Unfortunately, for all of us, none of them ever came to fruition. We spent tens of millions of dollars on projects, on planning and implementation studies and marketing studies and this and that.
And who controlled the council at the time? The Republicans.
Yeah.
They did.
Wrong.
Yes.
And Shirley Scott and Karen Ulick have their fingers all over
Karen
what happened.
Wasn't even on the council at the time all this started happening. That's just not
You're talking
true.
About the late 90s.
Late 90s, early 2000. 2005 is when Karen took over as her city council seat. So that is a myth. What happened was there was three Republicans and Carol West who voted with them on everything. And as a result, we got the mess we've got. And it started from the very beginning. And the fixes that needed to happen are starting to happen, like Mike Hine was fired over this. And that was the Democratic City Council that did that. The Republican City Council hired him.
Got to go. Bruce, you want the last word?
I think everybody knows who's listening, what the facts are, and the facts speak plainly. We're going to win this election for Republicans and for the city of Tucson.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your wall, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at Moe's Gallery.com. We are halfway through the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. The next 30 minutes, should you delay retirement? That will be coming up right after we hear from the Buckmaster lineup of fine sponsors and a brief news break. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A student's been shot and wounded today at a North Carolina high school. No arrests have been made, no gun recovered. Cape Fear High School in Fayetteville has been placed on lockdown. Police say a female student was hit by what appears to be a small caliber bullet. She's been taken to a nearby hospital. President Obama will announce new rules to make it easier for struggling homeowners to refinance their mortgages. The president plans to discuss that initiative with homeowners in Las Vegas later today. A man charged with plotting to assassinate the Saudi ambassador to Iran has entered a plea of not guilty in federal court in New York. That's the Saudi ambassador to the U.S. 2 days after the United States warned of possible terror attacks in Kenya. There have been two explosions today in Kenya's capital. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners in Globe and in Douglas. And together, we've got a great reach, probably 8 of Arizona's 15 counties. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show. And one of our continuing focus segments on the Buckmaster Show is aging and the impact on the baby boom generation. Today we focus on a topic affecting so many baby boomers, and that is, should you delay your retirement? We'll explore that question now with Gail Morgan, a frequent guest to the Buckmaster Show on aging issues. Gail heads community outreach for Mather Lifeways, which is 50% owner and is the management company for Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a proud sponsor of the Buckmaster Show. Gail, good to see you.
Good to be here.
Well, you know, during the hard times, hard economic times, many people taking a second look at their retirement plans. I mean, they're thinking, maybe I'm going to have to keep working forever. When they look at what's happened to the stock market and to their 401k programs.
It seems to be almost this automatic assumption that's taking place out there that, gosh, now I can't retire as planned, or I shouldn't retire as planned. And one of the things we're seeing is that assumption may be more fear and scare and just what you're hearing on the street than reality.
Well, the certainly people are probably going to be working a little bit more because, after all, the lifespan is increasing.
It seems we are noticing two things. Lifespan is increasing, which is great. If you are a 65-year-old man today, you can expect to have another 18 years or to age 83. If you're a 65-year-old woman, another 20 years is the expected lifespan today. And of course, the way that we're living healthier lifestyles and medical advancements, that's only going to improve. The other thing that we're seeing is people are going, gosh, I'm going to live longer. Maybe I'll work longer also. But the lifespan seems to be at the crux of the entire decision.
And I guess you really do need to start thinking about planning at least 4 or 5 years before you think about retiring, correct?
Right. You know, when we were younger, we thought years in advance about sending our children to college. So we didn't just haphazardly decide to send our kids to college. We planned for it financially and so on. We want to take that same approach with retirement. So you should start thinking about retirement today, whatever age you are. You truly should start thinking about it today. And one of the first things we say to consider is your health.
Yeah, I mean, if take a look at your health, your inventory on your health care needs, not only for you and, I guess, your spouse.
Right. So if you're nearing that retirement age, the first question to ask is my health positive and what do I expect? So do I expect continued good health or am I already experiencing some health issues? The number one concern that most retirees have is protecting good health or maintaining good health. So assess that to begin with.
Gail Morgan is with us. We're talking about exploring a question, a very important one. Should you delay retirement? Then there's the whole factor, Gail, about health care costs. They are going up for everyone. And I think many people are confused as they reach that, they get close to 65, about the whole situation about Medicare.
Right. So once you've identified what you're expected, none of us have crystal balls, but what do you expect your future healthcare needs to look like? Then you have to ask, how am I going to pay for this? And as soon as you have that idea, start saying, what's Medicare going to cover? It's an unknown. Medicare has changed greatly over the last decade, and we all know there's more changes ahead. How Medicare covers personal health, how Medicare covers skilled nursing and rehab. So what's Medicare going to do? What's my gap insurance? What will and will not be covered, and how do I plan the dollars I'm going to need to cover what Medicare won't?
And that supplemental area, and there's so many ads that we see in the paper and that are sent to you when you approach 65, it becomes so confusing about what do I need?
Yeah, I think the only thing that is sure is you need a supplemental insurance. Mm-hmm. From there, what does Medicare look like? If you are going to retire or you have retired, do you have any benefits that have come with you? Are you a couple? Are you an individual? What is your age? And so the only thing I can assure is you need supplemental insurance, but from there, it's so individual that it is really excellent to consult with your insurance carrier or a variety of them to see what is best suited for you.
So we're living longer. We need to be thinking about health care insurance, and then we need to think about what kind of lifestyle do we want? Do we still want to work part-time, or do we have a particular hobby that can consume us? But we need to think about, well, what are we going to do in retirement?
Yeah, finally the fun part. Okay. we've thought about so many of
lifestyle,
those more arduous,
right?
Details. Now yeah. Let's talk about how do we want to spend that next 18 to 20 years. For some people, retirement means remodeling the kitchen and planting a garden. For others, it means truly shedding so much of the home maintenance and the chores, maybe even relocating to Tucson from out of state to enjoy the sun and the hiking. Really think, what does that lifestyle look like for me? And I'm going to say, if you're a couple, really be fair. So many times we see that retirement means for the gentleman giving up work, but maybe the wife or the partner who's been at home, she's still cooking and cleaning. So really look at, what does retirement look like for both of you as a couple, as well as individually?
Then you have the income and expenses of retirement. How are you going to cover all that?
Right. After you've identified the lifestyle that you want, take pen to paper and say, what's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost me from an asset standpoint? And what do I need to be able to cover from a monthly expense? Be sure to put that health care coverage in there. That's your biggest unexpected nut that you may have to cover one day. So don't forget to put that in there. Come up with a fair, objective assessment of what the costs will be. And then obviously the next step is look and see how that works with your savings and investments.
And then there's home prices. Some of the industry experts are saying it may take a decade or more for home prices to even return to the 2006 levels. And we've been talking about that last week. We were talking about some of the housing analysts here on the Buckmaster Show that it could be 2020 or beyond before we start to really see our homes have the kind of value that we had just a few years ago. So if you're depending on selling your home and getting a lot of money out of it, you could have a rude awakening.
Right. Think today and tomorrow. Because obviously, if you're 75, do you really want to put retirement on the back burner to wait for that real estate? The odds are you've bought that home quite a while ago, and the odds are you still have equity, or you're not going to get hurt if you are a retiree. So the other thing that we are seeing is people know they have to move forward. There's a lot of things you can put off. Retirement and how you want to spend the last 20 years of your life is not one of them. So look at what my home is worth today and use those dollars in your planning.
And check out, of course, all the savings, the investments, perhaps a pension, whatever, and then talk to, I guess, your financial advisor.
Absolutely. Go to your financial advisor, whomever that may have been over time, and take with you that lifestyle that you have identified. So this is what I want to spend my next 18, 20 years. And now tell me, do I have the adequate finances and investments to cover that? The question may come back to you, well, maybe no. You don't really. So perhaps the alternative is to retire slowly. So go part-time. Keep some income coming while you work part-time. Or it's go back to that drawing board and redefine that lifestyle. Or find a program, a community such as a continuing care community that will help protect those needs down the road financially. So it helps you forecast a bit better.
And you really have to be emotionally ready, I guess, to retire.
Yes, that, you know, no matter
it's huge.
If you've planned for it or not and you have the finances, you still have to emotionally be ready. A lot of people feel that their work has been their work and they can't wait for that going away party and that retirement party. Other people, many of us, have created who we are in our careers.
Our identity.
And to walk away from that can give us pause, and we can suddenly feel, you know, in flux. How do we fill our day and who are we? So really think about, am I ready for retirement? If my career is a big part of who I am, what am I going to replace that with? New interests, new hobbies, volunteering. What am I going to do to bring that fulfillment to my life?
Gail Morgan from Splendido, some very good advice as usual. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Gail Morgan with us on the Buckmaster Show, 1244. We're going to be talking about cooking next. Cooking the Wild Southwest, delicious recipes for desert plants. Carolyn Neathammer will be with us. Stay with us. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Well, the average fresh food item on American dinner tables now travels, get this, 1,500 miles to get to your table. But over the last few decades, interest in eating locally has grown quickly. Local food movements and farmers markets have been springing up all over the country, and especially here in Tucson. And the desert dwellers in the Southwest are taking a new look at native plants. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is writer Carolyn Neathammer, whose fifth cookbook, with a Southwest theme is now out from the University of Arizona Press. The book is titled Cooking the Wild Southwest, Delicious Recipes for Desert Plants. She is also the author of The New Southwest Cookbook, American Indian Cooking, and The Prickly Pear Cookbook. Carolyn Neathammer joining us now on the Buckmaster Show. Carolyn, good to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me how this book came about. How many years in the making was this one?
Actually, the University of Arizona Press called and asked me if I would update a book that I did 24 years ago called The Tumbleweed Gourmet. And when I began looking at it, I realized it was somewhat out of date, and the way we eat has changed considerably in the last 24 years, and there's been new research on some of these wild plants. So basically, I started over about a year and a half ago and began developing new recipes and making sure I had all the latest scientific information on these plants.
It was 1970, I believe, when you first started taking a hard look at some of these native plants. What was it that resonated with you at that time? What put you into that direction?
Well, although I'm a Tucsonan, I had lived a little while in Northern California. And, oh my goodness, there are so many things to eat there, berries and nuts and greens. And then I came back to Tucson and began looking around and wondering what people ate before Kmart and Safeway. And what it turned out, I began talking to Native American women because they were the ones, you know, that lived out on our desert, and began learning from them.
And you're not advocating that everybody should suddenly develop a wild food diet entirely. You're talking more of a supplemental diet.
Right. We can't live like the Tohono O'odham did 200 years ago. There's too many of us. We have other things to do. We can't spend our whole time gathering. But if you do go out there, there's many reasons. Number one, there's delicious wild foods out there. They're very easy to gather. Number two, they're adapted to us and the way we live. They're full of vitamins and minerals. And also, when you get out there on the desert, even if you're gathering just a few things, it gives you a better relationship to the way we live. And if you go on a hike, you see, oh, the cholla. Last spring, we gathered those delicious cholla buds, and we'll do it again next year.
Carolyn Neathammer is with us. Her fifth cookbook is out with a Southwest theme. It's from the University of Arizona Press. The book is titled Cooking the Wild Southwest. You focus on nearly two dozen ingredients. Let's talk about some of the ingredients that are really the centerpiece of this book and the recipes.
Well, of course, prickly pears are something that is so obvious. We see them everywhere, and many of them have them in our yards. So that's one that's easy to gather, it's easy to prepare, it's absolutely delicious, it is so healthy, it helps with your cholesterol, it helps with your blood sugar, your triglycerides, and it's easy. Also in the spring, the prickly pear pads, the nopalitos, are delicious. Another one that's very easy and we see everywhere is mesquite pods. And, you know, when I first started this work back in 1970, I went out and talked to a few Tohono O'odham ladies, and they were middle-aged ladies. They remembered cooking with their grandmothers, and they began teaching me about mesquite. And, you know, I think there were only a few, you know, old Tohono O'odhams out there that were still doing it. But, you know, in the last 25 years, people have learned about mesquite throughout the Southwest, and now with desert harvesters having their hammer mills and grinding them up. The last time I went to the desert harvesters grinding, they started at 9. I got there at 9. There was a line of 25 people already ahead of me. So while the Tohono O'odham are looking at mesquite and eating it again, the rest of us are as well.
You're also talking about acorns.
Yes, acorns were are something that has a high food value, and they grow on the Mexicans call them bellotas. They're little teeny weeny acorns, and they grow on the live oaks or the emery oaks. They have a stronger flavor than some of the other foods, and you should taste them. Some people love them. Some people find them a little too bitter. But they are something that the people of our region have eaten for probably millennia, certainly hundreds of years.
You've got some fantastic gingerbread recipe, too, in here. There's some beautiful pictures as well that on the cover showing some of the goodies. A lot of these recipes don't take a tremendous amount of work. I mean, I'm opening the page here to saguaro breakfast porridge, basically three ingredients.
Right.
Quarter of a cup of saguaro seeds, a quarter cup raw oatmeal flakes, and then a cup of water.
Absolutely. Of course, the hardest thing about that is gathering the saguaro fruits. And those, of course, come ripe in the hottest part of our summer. So I get up usually about dawn and gather my collecting stuff and head out to the saguaro forest on the edge of town. And then by the time, you know, it's 7:30 or so, it's getting pretty toasty out there. Mm. So you have to get out and get your saguaros early.
What are some of your favorite recipes in the book?
Oh, some of the favorites are easy ones are the prickly pear citrus marinade and sauce. That has just a few ingredients and it's very, very easy. The mesquite apple coffee cake is delicious. That
getting hungry.
Yeah. Oh, and everybody loves it. And there's a wonderful mesquite banana cake. And that one takes a little effort. You have to buy cake flour if you want it to turn out nice. But oh my word, it is absolutely delicious for a special occasion.
And then there's the barrel cactus and pineapple cake.
Yes, yes, that's that kind of a breakfast cake as well.
Hint, hint to my producer, Rosemary Branch. She knows that I like kind of a pineapple upside down cake. So,
well, that's pretty much what it is, yeah. Uh-huh.
Where do you go from here now? The whole movement, the local food, buy locally, it really has grown tremendously, hasn't it, Carolyn?
Absolutely. And one thing that, a word that we're hearing now, that is our food shed. And now that's a word that's been around since the early 20th century, but its usage now is expanding. Your food shed, it refers to everything between where the food that you eat is produced and where it's consumed. And that includes the land it grows on, the how it has to travel to get to you, the markets, and the kitchen where it's cooked. These days, our food shed is usually the entire globe. We've got grapes from Chile and pineapples from Thailand. But the important thing is that we begin to pull together things closest to us. And now we have these wonderful farmers markets and we have farms surrounding Tucson. So we really can eat lots of local vegetables.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't necessarily have to gather all of these items yourself. There are places where you can buy the ingredients, correct?
Oh, yes. There's farmers markets. My friend Muffin Burgess always has a stand at St. Philip's Market. Native Seed Search has wonderful selection of foods. The grocery store Food City has fabulous Nopalitos. So, I always felt that I had to do these things all by myself. I had to gather them from scratch. But my husband and I traveled in the Mexican highlands this summer, and I saw that the Mexican housewives don't do that. The market ladies are out there. They're cleaning the nopales and cutting them into small dice, and they just, cook them, pick them up all cleaned and take them home. So, sure, make it easy on yourself.
The book is called Cooking the Wild Southwest, Delicious Recipes for the Desert Plants. Carolyn Niethammer is the author. It's published by the University of Arizona Press. And there are a few upcoming events we want to tell you about. Saturday, this Saturday, 10 a.m., Tucson Botanical Gardens, a cooking demonstration and book signing. And Saturday, November 12th, cooking demonstration and book signing to Honochul Park. You'll be out there cooking, Carolyn?
Yes, it's a class that they sign up for. There's a small fee, it's not much. And we'll cook these things, they'll get a chance to taste them.
Sounds good. And then there is a final event Friday, November the 18th, 7 o'clock in the evening, Antigone Books. This will be a book discussion and signing. You'll be talking really about the whole eating local movement.
Yes, I'll be there with another author and a moderator, and we hope people come and join in the discussion on eating locally in the Tucson area.
That event Friday, November the 18th, but the one coming up, is the closest event on your calendar, is this Saturday morning, 10 a.m., Tucson Botanical Gardens. Carolyn Niethammer, good luck to you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. It's been fun.
12:59 on the Buckmaster Show. The Monday Political Face-Off was presented by Moe's Gallery, and we want to tell you that the Buckmaster Show is also brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We are here live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Hope you have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow right here, noon on KVOI. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.